America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday, January 19th. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, come up to the microphone, give us your name and address, and state your business. I'll ask for a roll call, please.
Mayor Cedar?
Here.
Members Foley?
Here.
Kinsbauer?
Here.
Krebs?
Here.
Cuffa?
Here.
Laporte?
Here.
McCartney?
Here.
All present, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. We'll go to Consent Agenda 4A. City Council Minutes, January 5, 2015, regular meeting, recommendation approved.
So moved.
Support.
The motion's made, supports, any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Go to number five, ordinances, resolution A. Ordinance introduction amendment to zoning ordinance to change the zoning classification of property 678 North Riverside. Mr. Bowyer. Mr. Bowyer, do you want to kind of come up and give us a little roundup of this?
Good evening. Basically, well, I'd like the architect, the petitioner, and his engineer are here, as is the next door neighbor, Chris Creedon. What we had done was the Planning Commission did the comprehensive plan, and that was done in May of 2012. It was adopted. The earlier comprehensive plan was April 12, 1995. Supposedly, they say you're supposed to update your master plan every 10 years. So this was more than the 10 years. After we got the master plan adopted, we thought we should take a look at the zoning map and get that brought up to date. And basically, that's how we got in this mess. But we ended up doing 600 and some parcels that were changed. Primarily, we had the downtown area was pretty much all R2 zoning, which allows for two-family, and most of the lots are only 60 by 90, wouldn't accommodate it. So the Planning Commission, they took a lot of time, went through, and changed the zoning. Mr. Evans was here at the public hearing when we were getting ready to send it on to council and approve the new zoning map, as was Mr. Breeden. There was talk about leaving them out. There were five parcels on that side. There was talk at that time to leave them R3. They decided not to do that, take them to R1, which is single family. Part of the reasoning is for that is because R3 allows for multiple buildings. You could have more units, more buildings on a parcel. After the fact, well, the new zoning map was adopted February 26th of 2014, so it's not a year old yet. After that, Mr. Evans discussed what his next step should be, and Terry Beyer, the city planner, and I had talked to him and said the best thing you could do would be to go for a PUD, planned unit development. Now, which he did, and as you can see, there's a conceptual drawings that he has of the site. Just so you know, the envelope isn't really getting any bigger on the house itself. Planning Commission, I know in your packets, I think we forgot to put in the review from the city planner, which was pretty much a favorable review. Planning Commission voted to send it on to City Council for approval on a 6-0 vote. And that's about where we're at. You could open it up to...
Let me ask you a couple questions, D. First of all, tonight's vote on this is only an introduction. This is not the final vote as far as yes, no, maybe, or whatever. This is just the introduction tonight. In 2 weeks, if it passes the introduction tonight, then it would be another vote in 2 weeks. How many properties do you, if you can ballpark it, when we made these changes, went from either R3 or R2 to R1?
How many?
You said 600.
Throughout the city?
Yes.
I'm going to guess maybe eight. There was a lot of R2 that went to R1A. Most of them were R2s going to R1As.
How many of those?
What?
Because you mentioned 600 parcels.
Well, we did the whole city. We did the whole city.
So how many parcels changed from R3 or R2 to a R1 or 1A? Of 600, is that?
300.
So there's...
Maybe even, well, we changed 600 parcels, so.
Right.
I don't know. Can you remember, Mike? I mean, most of them were R2 going to R1A.
Yeah, there was probably, I'd say close to 400.
Some went from R1A to R1.
So this is not the only parcel involved in this?
645 parcels got changed.
Okay.
Yep. Any other questions?
Any questions for Dee?
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is an introduction tonight, as I mentioned. Does anybody in the audience have anything that they want to add to this?
Good evening. I'm John Monti from Project Control Engineering. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Evans. We're the ones that prepared the site plan, and Herb Blackstock is here, the architect that prepared the architectural views. Just wanted to give you a brief idea of kind of what we're doing here. This particular residence is something that hopefully you'll get a chance to go in and actually see it on site. It's very unique, the way that it was constructed many years ago. The building is pretty much an aluminum structure. It's kind of square, flat roof, divided into three distinct units, kind of already. And that's where the idea came from when Mr. Evans purchased it. It was zoned, the multifamily R3 at the time when he purchased it, and that was his intent, to convert those three distinct areas into separate living spaces. So when you look at this, the way that it was designed architecturally, it'll actually look more residential than it does now, I think you'll find if you take a look at it. The buildings are, a second story is being put on, and then towards the street side, riverside side, two-car garages are being added so that each unit has their own garage. So there's no extension out towards the riverside. There's no additional extension to the sides. Additional landscaping has been added to just help with screening. It's pretty well secluded right now with a screen wall on the north that the neighbor has. Plus, there's heavy landscaping on both sides. It has a very nice private character, and we're trying to actually maintain that in this design and keep it very residential looking. So what took place, as was just explained, is this property isn't something that Mr. Evans came in and tried to get you to rezone the property so he could do a development. This was always really his intention. When the city decided to rezone this area, I believe there were actually six properties on the river, including yours, Mr. Evans, if I'm correct, and four across the street that were all changed at the same time. There still is multifamily units that are adjacent and across the street. But I think you'll find that this is trying to be converted to very high-class residential units here, three units, and not expanding or encroaching anywhere upon the neighbors. So what happened is he did come in and try to stop that from being rezoned, because obviously he wanted to do this. This is what his goal was. Even at the Planning Commission meeting, it was described to us in that same way, that some members were hesitant at the time, you know, should we do this? Should we include this property? Should we do it? Should we not? But the ordinance would allow, by them doing it, even if they did do it, the ordinance would still allow him the ability to come in under a PUD and still make it work. So, but it did then allow from the city side a little more, a little more control from the standpoint that prior to this, he could have constructed 9 units on the property. So by going, by changing the zoning and then leaving the PUD as an alternative, it was something that would fit in kind of nicely and still afford him the ability to make the project work. So that was even the impression we got from the Planning Commission. They tabled us so that they could study it further. There was some controversy about it, no doubt about that. There's always that, it seems, in a rezoning. But after the Planning Commission considered it, it was a unanimous decision. So we hope that when you do make your decision, you'll follow what your Planning Commission is recommending.
John, before you sit down, number one, thank you. Number two, is this going to be 3 separate ownerships or one owner leasing 2 out or 3 out?
It'll end up 3 separate ownerships. There'll be, the building's attached, but there'll be 3 units.
So they're going to
be condominium sold units.
Not leased.
Correct.
Thank you. Any questions for?
Yeah, I got one question. You said you're going to add a second story?
Yes.
How much higher are you going to make the roof line?
Maybe Herb could answer that.
Good evening. My name is Herb Blackstock with Blackstock Alexander Associates. To answer the question, we're going, I believe, I don't have the actual elevation drawing with me, but I believe it's approximately 35 feet to the ridge line. So
what is it now?
Right now, the building actually has a sloped roof in the center. I'll call it pod. Right now, we're estimating that it's probably around 15 feet from grade. So we're still below the zoning ordinance requirements in terms of the building height, so we do meet that. And in the massing of the building, what we tried to do is we did not add a full height perimeter wall so that we had this massive building. What we did is we actually enclosed the second story in a shallower roof line. So as you can see from the renderings, we tried to take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. DePort, you're the council rep on the Planning Commission. Can you shed a little information light? Give us some of the things that occurred in your brain.
We worked on this one a long time. We were back and forth, and one of the things that when we changed from R1 or R3 to R1, it was try to protect some of the residential neighborhoods because we had a lot of activity going on. We didn't want it going up and down the river. And Mr. Evans did ask for us to turn it back to R1, and the Planning Commission, no. Then they did come to Mr. Booth and Dee and ask about the plan development unit. The plan development unit actually gives the city more control of the uses, the architecture. The plan development unit is when you read the consultant's review, actually whatever restrictions are put in there goes into his deed. During the course of construction, it has to all be under one owner. Once the construction's done, yes, they can be divided into 3. The footprint of the building itself, the 3 modular units, doesn't change a whole lot. The height of the building does. The height meets the requirements, which he didn't really have to come to the Planning Commission. D could have done that under the old ordinance and under the new. We all wrestled with it. A lot of the residents came forward. It started back a ways too when we were doing a review and Donna Cornell was on the Planning Commission, and City of Port Huron came forward and said, hey, we've got all these residential units, and their makeup of their mix was over 50% of their housing was rentals. absentee owners. We looked at that, and we looked at our master plan, and when we started through it, we thought, well, wait a minute, why do we have all these R2 and R3s when it is not the intent for us to become a rental, a haven with all absentee owners? So we went through and we tried to clean up the zoning map where it made a lot of sense, that is that this is residential or this multiple or whatever. And Dee's right, we did over 600 parcels. And in that, there was the major part of the downtown, the center core, some to the north end. There were a few out down Kearney, that type of thing. They all had to be contiguous properties for the way that we did it. And we spent a lot of homework on it. We really did. And this, I don't know.
How much time did you spend, spend on this from start to finish? Don't take into consideration the master plan from R3 to R1. Just how much time did you guys spend on this parcel?
On this one? Probably a couple months.
Okay.
The entire planning commission did go and view the property. We were all there, I believe. Mitch went. A few other council people, I think, went too and viewed it. And
the reason I asked the question about the length of time is that Friday I got my council packet. Today I got another, some more information about PUDs from the planner. I would prefer to postpone the introduction of the ordinance so I had time personally to review the planner's input, the planning commission's input, the PUD ordinances, and how this fits into North Riverside myself. That's just my opinion. Trying to read all this and soak all this in less than a day for me is incomprehensible.
The planner's review was just an oversight. That should have went out before. And there is a lot in there. But I have no problem with somebody needing more time. You know,
is that a motion?
I don't think there's.
It can be. I'm just stating my personal opinion. It's a lot of information to absorb. And it's a, if planners took 2 months here and we get 3 days to make a decision on something that's going to change. And my point about this is that planning, you guys did a great job. The homeowner has presented a great case. The opposition has presented a great case. There's two rights here. And I'm in the middle of the two rights, and I just don't think I can make a decision on an ordinance where I'm going to have to turn around and vote on this ordinance in 2 weeks without review. And I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I don't know if other people have been able to read this and comprehend it all in a matter of a couple of hours. Maybe they have.
I've had a chance to read it, but I haven't had a chance to research anything with anybody. So I mean, if you make a motion, I'll support it.
I'll make a motion to postpone the ordinance introduction for the next meeting.
We can make a motion to table.
Yeah,
that's what you're
right.
Referring to. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah. And I'll support the motion to table.
All right. Then we can ask for the motion is made to table this till further considerations. Are there any questions or concerns about the motion to table? I'm going to call the roll for the motion to table and then take public. Can I take public comment after the motion to table?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to have the motion to table voted first, and then I'll take any comments or questions people have. Clerk, would you call the roll on the motion to table?
LaPorte?
Yes.
McCartney?
Yes.
Foley?
Yes.
Kinsfatter?
Yes.
Krebs?
Yes.
Cuffa?
Yes.
Cedar?
Yes.
Motion carries, Your Honor.
All right, so we're going to table this until further notice, I guess we'll say that now, and I'll take any comments or questions people may have. Mr. Breeden?
Yeah, maybe I can clear up a little bit of misunderstanding. And I hope everybody understands, Mr. Monty, Mr. Blackstock, and Mr. Evans, it's not personal, it's strictly business. But some of the things, Tom, that you mentioned, I think I can clear up. And I would concur that the city did a great job when they reviewed the master plan. all of those homes have been single-family residents since they've been built. Mine's been built, what, 60-some years ago. The house in question was built by a famous architect, along with mine, and along with my neighbor to the north, Ed Sodden. And those are usually considered gems in a town of any size, Chicago or St. Clair. And that's one of many reasons why I think it should not be changed, not just because I'm a neighbor. But the city, and again, I'm not in government, but the city did do a master plan, and they said we have five residents that we have zone R3. Well, sure, it should have been changed 30 years ago. But there was some oversight, but the city did the right thing, and they looked at it, and they said, these are all single family, it should be R1. But when the Planning Commission, as I understand it, was doing their work, and most of it was done with all good intentions, they didn't look at the ordinances very carefully. And the ordinance, the PUD ordinance, says that all you need is 1 acre to put condominiums on. Now my understanding is that the Planning Commission is scrambling to change all of that because they really don't want condominiums there. Right now, everybody on North Riverside Avenue can put condominiums. I could, my neighbor could, all the way up. We could have a whole row of condominiums up on North Riverside. I don't think that's what the city of St. Clair wants. I don't want that, and I don't think that beautifies the city. So what the Planning Commission decided to do after they looked at this project, they said, whoops, I think we made a mistake. Now let's change it so we have to have a minimum of 2 acres. Now we don't want any PUDs from Brown Street up to the city limits and nothing from the railroad all the way to the river. So now, if we just imagine for a moment that maybe Mr. Evans moved somewhere else and nothing was done, then everything would be changed because they're trying to change it. If they're trying to change it, then they know they had a problem. So a problem exists. And also my understanding with talking to two city attorneys, there's about 35 cases in the state of Michigan right now that are huge legal quagmires with PUDs, and it's a mess. And the city of St. Clair shouldn't have PUDs on North Riverside Avenue. That was not the spirit of the law. And just take a look at some of the issues you're dealing with right now with the St. Clair Inn and everything else. There's some big problems with the ordinances and the way they were set up. So they did the right thing by going from R1, from R3 to R1, but they kind of overlooked the PUD. So this is where they snuck it in under the wire, so to speak. So those are some of my concerns, is that why would you want to approve this, first of all? What is the reason to approve it? I can only think of one reason, and that is the tax base for the city. Now, I don't know if anybody has the numbers, how many thousands of dollars it's going to create, a little bit. It's going to create a few thousand for the tax base. And, you know, money is the mother's milk of government. We'd like to have a little more tax base. I understand that. But is that what is best? And the city planners, they told me over the last 4 months, they spent hours and hours and hours going over this, trying to get it right. Well, they had it almost right, except they got the PUD problem wrong. So that's the reason to approve it, for the tax base. The reasons to decline it would be numerous. Number one, nobody that lives in St. Clair that I talk to that lives next to a single-family resident wants to have three condominiums next to them. I have 53 signatures right here. This isn't just a list, by the way. These are real people that live in my neighborhood, and I've been there for over 30 years, that do not want condominiums. Every one of them. I did not talk to one that said, oh, I'd love to have condominiums next to you or next to them. And all of you are councilmen, and you do represent the people, I think, of the city of St. Clair. So please take that to heart, because the Planning Commission got it wrong. my property value will go down. No, I don't have the numbers. I can call up and try to find out who can figure out the numbers, but anyone with half a brain can figure out it's nicer to live next to a single family than to have three condominiums. I don't know what's going to happen if he sells three condominiums. Is it legal to rent a condominium? I think it is. Or if he sells it and somebody else sells it again, are we going to have two elderly people there that are nice and quiet? Or are we going to have a family of three or four in each unit, and now we have four times the number of people there with dogs and everything else? We're also having six car garage now. That changes it dramatically. So these are some of my concerns. There is a safety issue. I just sat through an hour of talking about the safety issues on North Riverside Avenue. All of you agree there's a safety issue with speed. It is not easy pulling into my driveway and pulling out of my driveway. Anyone that lives along there, that is a fact. Now, I don't think I have to go through every little detail, but Officer Jefferson knows that when you're coming up North Riverside and you're in the right-hand lane, I have to be very careful of when I put my blinker on. I have to be very careful when I start to put my brake on, and I have to slow down just at the right time. If I do it too soon, three or four cars pile up behind me, then they want to quick get in the left-hand lane because they're already hitting 40 to 50 in the left-hand lane, and there's many times when it's very, very close. So now we have this issue going on, and now we have three families, maybe two people trying to pull out of the driveway on this speed area where we have a safety issue. I think that's a real issue, and I think that should be considered, and I think because of that alone, it should be denied. So we have the loss of property value, we have the safety issue, we have the issue that the PUD was not done properly, and it shouldn't have been allowed with a one-acre lot, so that we wouldn't even be sitting here today.
Mr. Wayne, I'm going to ask you to take about maybe one more minute and wrap her up.
Okay. And then, okay, so I've hit the main points, and the other things that I want to say are just in light that he's got very nice drawings. I respect architects and builders, but the envelope is not the same. The envelope is in cubic feet, not square footage. And that roof line, I know it. I look at it every day. There is a peaked roof line. It's up at least 8 feet, and it's going to come all the way across. He's adding the second level. That dramatically changes the volume and the size of it. He's coming back from the house, not only the cubic feet, but the square footage of three more garages coming out along there is going to dramatically change things. I think that's a deterrent. I don't think you can put all the landscaping you want. I don't think that's going to beautify it. The intentions are, I just disagree along with all my residents that this is what's best for the city. And I hope the city takes it to heart and decides to do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, does anybody else that wants to have anything? All right, the motion was made to table. We'll table this until council is ready to act on this. And that is, whenever we do put this on the agenda, you are always welcome to call City Hall, call me, call Mr. Booth, call your council rep to find out when it's going to be on there. I cannot tell you right now when that will be. All right, we'll move to number six. City Superintendent, Mr. Booth, do you have anything tonight?
Two items, Your Honor. First of all, I'd like to provide a little update on roads. I know we talked about it in our special, but I'd like to clarify a few items that were published in today's Times Herald. St. Clair Highway, I think the paper indicated, needs to be repaired. I agree with that. Funding for this project via a millage, as far as I'm aware, was never considered. That was published. M29 is a state trunk line maintained by the state, not the city. The city did propose a road millage in November of 2011. The millage would have been used to repair local and major streets. Again, not St. Clair Highway. And I just thought it was important that our residents knew that. Second item, M29 bridge project.
They done?
Nearly.
No.
MDOT closed M29 on January 15th, so last Thursday. They have agreed to add additional signage to assist eastbound traffic on Fred Moore. Cars and trucks, because of the poor signage, are turning, are not turning south on King Road. Further, MDOT is working to change the light at Kearney and Fred Moore. They were closed today in recognition, recognition of Martin Luther King Day. So I expect to have more answers back tomorrow, but they did indicate the signage would be a couple of days. Again, one other item in that area, work on the bridge will be performed on Sundays. They asked that they could do that, and the reasoning behind it was they want to make sure it's reopened by the end of March. That's it.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Booth?
What about the light at Clinton and?
It's on the list, Mike.
It is?
I think they're trying to get the other one first, but.
You give me that number. I'll let people call. I got the sign.
All right. Anybody else? All right. Mr. Downey, do you have anything?
I have nothing this evening, Your Honor.
Any city departments? DAs, authorities, boards, commissions?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Mayor, Council, I'm here for the DDA. I'm just here to let, let everyone know, I think you may, but the DDA will not be hosting the Winter Whiteout. But the St. Clair Rotary Club will be sponsoring our poetry contest for St. Clair's Poet Laureate for 2015, and also the Bootleggers Balladeer a week from this Wednesday, the 28th. It'll be at 7 p.m. at the Riverview, at the LaCroix Riverside Pub. And then Saturday, the Riverview Merchants will be sponsoring their Frosty games.
That's this Saturday?
No, the Saturday the 30th.
Okay.
31st, I'm sorry.
They didn't put a date in the paper. People have been asking me, and I figured tonight somebody would know.
Right.
The 30th?
31st for the Frosty games at the Riverview.
31st.
Right.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll go to number seven, unfinished business. I do have another board and commission appointment to make tonight for the beautification commissions. With your blessing, I would like to appoint Susie Katakis to a three-year term, Claire Richardson, Diane Berger, Elizabeth Harvey for two-year terms, Linda Messina, and Janice Clark for one-year terms.
So move.
Support.
Motion made, support. Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We'll go to number eight, new business. I'm sorry, I just did that. I'm sorry, I messed that up, you guys. Okay, so we did 8A, okay, the beautification commission appointment. We're going to go back to 7A, which is the commission attendance policy that Mr. Downey has been working on for us. And I jumped right past that. Sorry about that. Do you want to take that for a minute?
Sure, Your Honor. Before council is the amended attendance policy. It reflects a couple changes that we discussed at the time of our first meeting in January, namely the word person was inserted from changing resident in section one and in item, or section three rather, in the heading forfeiture of office. We've added the clause that upon the recommendation of mayor and with the advice and consent of city council, the following actions can take place. With those two changes in order, I think that this is ready for consideration by the council.
Motion to approve.
Support.
All right. Motion has been made and supported to approve the board and commission's attendance policy under 7A. Is there any questions?
I do have a couple of questions, Your Honor. Just for clarification, Your Honor, and Jim, under forfeiture of office, B, is that a combination of both? Is that intended to be a combination of both?
Yes,
so
it is.
So it could have two excused and three unexcused and be removed from office?
You're not meeting the threshold in okay. either category, but the sum of those two.
Yes. So, okay. And then just for clarification, that's all. And then C, is that intended for boards that maybe meet quarterly?
I guess it can be for however the mayor and council.
So it'd be consecutive is a key word.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? I need a roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And I apologize for that mixed up way. A lot of words in there. All right. These glasses, I may have to go up one more notch. All right. New business B, approval of amendment to Recreation Commission bylaws.
We have,
sorry.
we have talked in recreation that the lack of attendance and trying to get a quorum facilitated us to request a 7-member commission in place of a 9. In our meeting today, I wanted to reiterate that the rec commission is in favor of this reduction, and therefore I ask your approval.
Motion to approve.
Support.
All right, the motion's made and supported. Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We'll go to C. Approval of boathouse lease transfer requests.
In your packet are the transfer requests for 3 leases. On the memo accompanying those are the specific names. So what is required today is a motion for approval of the boathouse lease transfers. All of the necessary documentation has been received, and all the new potential leases do adhere to all of the ordinance requirements.
So move.
Support.
Motion made, supported. Questions?
Yes, I do, Your Honor. Are when boathouses become available, do they go to the person that might have the connection with the owner, or do they get posted for people in the community that may be waiting for years to have a boathouse opportunity pop up?
Regarding notification of the sale?
Yeah.
There is a wait list that is kept on file, and the notification of the sale goes to those people first.
Okay.
And after a 15-day time period, if there hasn't been any interest in it, then it will be posted otherwise at the owner's discretion. But the wait list does have first priority.
So the person who purchased, Mr. Steyer, that purchased 1145 South History, was he on the waiting list?
Yes.
Okay, he was, okay. Who establishes the cost of these boathouses?
I would expect.
Has that just been something that's gone on for a long time, Mike?
The owner.
The owner does?
The owner.
Is that value taxed?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? We'll go to number 9, claims and accounts, December 30th, January 9th, and January 16th, 2014, 2016.
Hearing no questions, Your Honor, I make a motion to approve as presented.
Support.
Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Number 10 is public comment. Does anyone have anything tonight? Okay, we'll go to number 11, Council and Mayor Amalsamus. Certainly, we should all keep in mind that today is Martin Luther King Day, great, peaceful leader of the civil rights movement through the 60s. And I would also like to make sure that everyone's aware that the M29 bridge is closed and seek alternate routes.
Yeah. Your Honor, I have a question under the comment section.
Yes.
In our public meeting, we were talking about a lot of discussion about roads and maintenance. And I'm not sure if I missed the opportunity or not to present a motion to direct administration to purchase a crack filling machine. But I was certainly, if I did, and I can't propose that motion, I would certainly like to get it on the next agenda and direct administration to look into purchasing.
You want on the next agenda?
Well, I don't know if I can make the motion at this point in time or not. I guess I'm asking legal if I can present a motion.
It's probably better put on the next agenda.
Okay. I would ask that it gets put on the next agenda to discuss the purchase of a crack filling machine. Pardon me?
All right, anybody else? All right, we'll get number 12. We're going to ask for a motion to go into closed session to discuss the strategy connected with the negotiation of a collective bargaining agreement with the employees represented by the Police Officers Labor Council, the ORC.
So moved.
Support.
Motion made, supported. Call the roll, please.
McCartney?
Yes.
Foley?
Yes.
Kinspotter?
Yes.
Krebs?
Yes.
Cuffa?
Yes.
Laporte?
Yes.
Cedar?
Yes.
Motion carried.
We will not be taking the action when we come back. You're welcome to stay and wait, but I do not believe we'll be doing any kind of action when we return.